Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good morning and welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio. A lot of talk on social media about the issue of how Vice President-elect Mike Pence went to see the play Hamilton. And when he entered the theater, there were mixed applause and boos. And at the end of the production, Brandon Dixon, who plays Vice President Aaron Burr, reached into his pocket and delivered a message on behalf of the cast.
Vice President-elect Pence, we welcome you and we truly thank you for joining us here at Hamilton and American Musical. We really do. We, sir, we are the diverse America who are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect us, our planet, our children, our parents, or defend us and uphold our inalienable rights, sir. But we truly hope that this show has inspired you to uphold our American values and to work on behalf of all of us. All of us.
So that was Brandon Dixon's appeal to Vice President-elect Mike Pence. Donald Trump this morning on the Twitters, the cast and producers of Hamilton, which I hear is highly overrated, should immediately apologize to Mike Pence for their terrible behavior. And then we have reports from Broadway World, a publication, that apparently last night the performance of Hamilton in Chicago was interrupted when an audience member allegedly shouted, "We won, you lost, get over it," and then used an obscenity. Hamilton inspiring all kinds of attitudes, and here we have a play reflecting kind of the divisions that exist in this country in real life. Well, joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Rebecca Shee. Rebecca is a great friend of the program, executive director of the Illinois Business Immigration Coalition. And a happy birthday to you as well.
Oh, thank you so much, Rick. Thanks so much for having me again.
You know, I realized when I've had you on, we haven't really talked about what the Business Immigration Council really represents.
Sure.
Who is it and what is it?
Sure. So the Illinois Business Immigration Coalition, we promote sensible immigration reform that supports the economy of Illinois, provides Illinois companies with both the high-skilled and low-skilled talent that they need, and allows the integration of immigrants into our economy as consumers, workers, entrepreneurs, and citizens.
And it's not partisan.
No, it isn't. So we are a bipartisan group of business CEOs, associations, immigrant advocates. So you have Republican CEOs, Democratic CEOs, and they came together about 4 years ago, right after the 2012 elections, actually, when there were will and energy from both sides of the aisle to put something together in terms of legislation. And it successfully passed in the Senate, and the business community really worked very hard with both sides of the aisle to get that done. So,
and everybody thought there was great momentum then, and then it just stalled in the House.
No, that's right. And the Senate legislation was actually something that both the business community and at the national level, represented by the U.S. Chamber, and also labor unions nationally, represented by the AFL-CIO, sat together and hammered out every piece of that legislation, from how many high-skill visas our employers need to what does this path to citizenship look like, a very long earned path that was about 11 years for undocumented workers. And at the same time, we had a group of bipartisan senators, with Senator Durbin from our state to Senator Marco Rubio from Florida, that sat together for months. There were eight of them to hammer out every piece of this legislation. So, you know, that was a great model, and it's something that we're still committed to working with both sides of the aisle to get done in the upcoming years. So,
but now with the election of Donald Trump, I mean, we saw how the Gang of Eight's plan in the Senate kind of fell apart. We even saw, in some respects, Marco Rubio walking away from it as part of his presidential campaign. Now you have Donald Trump, who has been vociferous in his criticism about immigration. Now he's the president. And so what odds are there of any kind of comprehensive immigration legislation moving?
Sure. You know, it's interesting. We were part of conducting polling, weeks leading up to the election, both voters in general and President-elect Trump supporters in particular, to see how people felt about immigration and specifically legal status for 11 million undocumented immigrants and massive deportations. And over 80% of American voters in general supported some kind of earned legal status for the 11 million who are here and were against massive deportation. And for Trump supporters, it was very interesting. 60% of them believe that there was some way we have to integrate the 11 million here, and that massive deportation did not make any economic or moral sense. So I think your comment earlier about, I think this election was about the jobs, the economy, and also disappointing politics and politicians, the way you framed it, I thought was nice. I think that was center and core to President-elect Trump's victory, and that the majority of Americans still believe that we have to do something to fix our immigration system, so that 10 years from now we're not having the same conversation. Right?
Well, and who knows if we will? I mean, that seems to be part of the problem, because you already are hearing kind of Trump doing a two-step in on some aspects of things he campaigned on, some aspects of what he talked about, his harsh language about, going from the original deportation idea, and now, he's talking about on day one deporting up to 2 million people who are criminals. And there's some question about whether that's an adequate number and what constitutes a, quote, criminal. And I think in any kind of conversation about immigration and path to legalization, legal status, no one questions that hardened criminals should not be part of that process. But, is there 2 million criminals of that 11 million who have undocumented status?
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, I think that's one thing that we'll be paying close attention to, and look forward to working with the administration to look at who are the 2 or 3 million undocumented criminals, how are they defined? Because the reality is, everybody, right, whether you're documented or undocumented, whether you're first generation or eighth generation, you want to live in a safe and secure neighborhood and community. And so I think that when there are 11 million people in the shadows, that doesn't make us safe, right? When we don't know where people are, where they're working, and who they are, that does not make our community safe. And so when there is a process that we bring people out of the shadows, do background checks, do a rigorous screening, and, if they are productive working members of our society, paying taxes like the majority of 11 million people are, they're working, in agriculture, in landscaping, they're cleaning the floors, taking care of the elderly at nursing homes, that it's good for our economy, but more importantly, our security, right, which I know has been a primary issue in this election, that when they're brought out of the shadows and fully integrated into our workforce, into our society.
We're speaking with Rebecca Sheed. She's the executive director of the Illinois Business Immigration Coalition. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. Joining me here is Rebecca Sheed, the executive director of the Illinois Business Immigration Coalition. We're talking about President-elect Trump and some of the things he's discussed about when he takes over involving immigration. And, of course, Rebecca, you cited from the polling that your group was involved in about how 60% of Donald Trump supporters actually supported kind of the Gang of Eight proposal mm-hmm. that it existed that would eventually lead to legal status. And to me, my instant thought was, here's this great dichotomy because, you know, this is the guy who in June 2015, the first thing he talks about is how we're going to build the wall with Mexico and that the people crossing the border are, for the most part, criminals. And kind of that hard-driving aspect of the Trump candidacy appealing to you know, the blue collar, fearful of their status, their economic status, their job status. And yet 60% of Trump supporters say they would support a path to citizenship. Mm-hmm. But you explained to me off the air why it's not necessarily a dichotomy mm-hmm. because it was explaining what sure. the proposal was.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that what we've seen and this especially highlighted in this political season is, you know, buzzwords and sound bites that drive up a lot of emotion but may not necessarily be accurate. And so in the poll that we participated in, when, you know, we explained to voters that that this path to legal status or citizenship, you know, requires 11 years, which was what was included in the Senate bill, it puts people in the back of the line who are undocumented. It requires a hefty fine, paying back of taxes, background checks, and requirements that you're working, you're learning English, you continue to pay your taxes, and then and if only then do you continue on this path to become legal, and then
that's what makes you eligible to get in the back of the line.
Exactly. So it's an incredibly rigorous process that because of the political season and that a lot of times get diluted into one or two buzzwords that are not true. So when we actually explain this to American voters, including voters who support a president-elect Trump, people say, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, that makes sense, right? That that this can work. This is sensible.
Well, and I think for the most part, even with the rhetoric, nobody believes that 11 million people are right. going to be rounded up yeah. and deported. Exactly. I don't think anybody, you know, even and go back to 2012 when, you know, Mitt Romney had talked about self-deportation and right. you know, that kind of thing. I don't think anybody believes that. Yeah. But it's truly it's a management yeah, issue
absolutely.
Is what it comes down to.
Absolutely. And if you just look at our state alone, you know, we know that we have a fiscal crisis, a budget crisis. Undocumented immigrants in Illinois alone pays $720 million a year in income tax and sales tax and property tax.
And I want to ask you about that because sure. I think last time you were on and it was after you had left, but somebody had raised the question, well, if they don't have legal status, they're not documented, how do they pay taxes?
Sure. So just to finish that thought, if the around 650,000 undocumented immigrants were to be removed from Illinois, we will be losing on an annual basis the $720 million in income tax, property tax, and sales tax. So in terms of how the undocumented immigrants pay the taxes, property tax and sales tax, right, that makes sense, the home ownership. Through their rent and through, just purchasing power, immigrants are paying these taxes. And then in terms of workforce, there's 12 undocumented immigrants represent 12% of the workforce in Illinois, but they actually participate about 18%. And that when they work in a restaurant, landscaping, or on a farm, they have to register and fill in paperwork the way that we all do. And then on the form, their employer then deducts the income tax and the federal tax. And so the employer takes care of that, right? And so to be compliant to IRS. So therefore, that's how they pay the income tax at the state and the federal level.
So looking ahead, and of course we have, and Paul Ryan is still Speaker of the House, and he, I remember not that long ago, was with Congressman Gutierrez together at the City Club of Chicago to talk about the need for comprehensive immigration reform. But again, it was the Republican House that stalled the Senate proposal. Now you have kind of this, you know, what uncertain atmosphere that exists in Washington, and also the uncertainty of the relationship that will exist between a President Trump and a Speaker Ryan. So what do you see going forward?
Sure. So, I mean, we think that the fact that Speaker Ryan was supported and voted in unanimously as Speaker is a good sign. We think that Ryan's Priebus, being the Chief of Staff, is a good sign. And, you know, those are two people who have, like you said, Rick, a record of supporting this issue and working in a bipartisan way to find a sensible solution. And, you know, one of our priorities, a key priority for with the new administration, is to make sure that the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival, the DACA, is continued by President-elect Trump or replaced through legislation. So that's the DACA, the Dreamers.
That's the executive order that President Obama signed.
That's right. And right now there are 750,000 Dreamers who have this DACA status, and in Illinois alone, there's about 45,000. So they're working, they're paying taxes. Some of them are tech entrepreneurs who are also creating jobs for other Americans. And so, you know, we want to make sure, and there are, you know, many different voices, faith, business, advocates who are at the table, and convey that this is a really great program, and we that needs to be continued and upheld.
But so, it's an executive order, and of course, so that's subject to whoever the next president is, kind of thing. And versus legislation, as you say, which is harder to, once it's incorporated into law, it's much harder to kind of repeal.
That's right. That's right. And you know, one good sign is that back in 2013, President-elect Trump did meet with three Dreamers at the Trump Tower in his office, and he heard their stories, and he did say, you know, you convinced me, right? You know, your stories of your accomplishment, your achievement, and really, you know, no different from Americans than your status, have convinced me, you know, that you deserve to be in this country. And so I know that this is an issue that he knows about. And that, you know, the best way to protect these young people, like you said, is through legislation. And we look forward to working with him and Speaker Ryan to make this permanent.
That's Rebecca Shih. She's the executive director of the Illinois Business Immigration Coalition. Rebecca, as always, thank you so much for joining me, and especially on your birthday weekend.
Oh, thank you so much, Rick, for having me, always.
We'll be back with more right after this.